The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
I'm Gail King. Welcome to CBS Mornings on the Go. Take us with you because we want to go with you at on this Tuesday, June 2nd. Could GLP-1 drugs like Wegovy and Zepbound lower the risk of breast cancer? Well, it's complicated. And Dr. Celine Gounder is here to sort it all out, the results of a new study. Plus, fewer teenagers are working summer jobs. Why is that? It's a dramatic decline that began decades ago. So we're going to talk about what's going on here. We'll talk with Harvard economist Roland Fryer. And former Vice President Mike Pence is in the building today. He's got lots of thoughts on the Republican Party. He says they've lost their way under President Trump. He's got a plan to take the GOP back to traditional conservatism. And we're also talking with Grammy-winning pop star Pink. She's here today. She is hosting the Tonys this Sunday. And guess what? It's going to be a party. That's the song. All that and more just ahead.
But we start this hour with Russia launching one of its largest ever attacks on civilian targets in Ukraine. Dozens of missiles and drones hit apartment blocks in the capital and other major cities overnight. At least 18 people were killed and more than 100 injured. Remy Onsencio has more from London. Remy, good morning.
Nate, yes, good morning. There are multiple explosions, barrages of explosions were heard, seen, and felt last night over Kyiv and much of the east of the country. Ukraine's Air Force said that Russia attacked with 73 missiles and 656 drones. Local media report that more than 30 of those missiles got through. This is Russia's third heaviest assault in just under a month. And authorities in the capital, Kyiv, warn residents to take cover. You can see them. There are people sheltering in the subway system as those strikes hit. President Zelensky confirmed that dozens of residential buildings and civilian infrastructure were also damaged, and many people are feared trapped beneath all of that rubble, and the death toll has been continuing to rise over the past few hours. Moscow warned just last week of systemic strikes on Ukraine and had already told foreign embassy staff to leave Kyiv. For its part, Russia has been criticizing Ukraine for attacks on its own civilians. Gail.
Got it, Remy. Thank you very much. In this morning's Health Watch, we're focusing on a new study of breast cancer and the use of those popular weight loss drugs. Researchers from Penn Medicine found that women taking the GLP-1 drugs like Wegovy and Zepbound were less likely to be diagnosed with breast cancer. Now, that sounds great, but we're hearing now there's so much more to it. Let's bring in our medical correspondent, Dr. Celine Gounder. She's editor-at-large for public health at KFF Health News. Good morning to you, Celine. It was when I read this morning, I thought this is really exciting, but I hear you going, wait, not so fast. Not so fast.
So Penn Medicine looked at health records from over 100,000 women who had mammograms and other breast imaging. These 100,000 or more women were overweight, and about 15,000 of them were on GLP-1 drugs. And you'll hear this number 30% lower risk.
Yes.
Now, so that sounds big until you look at the actual numbers. So among women not on the drug, they 2.3% were diagnosed with breast cancer. Among those who were on the drug, 1.6%. So it's a difference of less than 1%. So the math here matters. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I don't want people running home and thinking, oh, I need to be on a GLP-1 to prevent breast cancer. That is not the message at all here.
But can we say that the drugs caused a difference in a positive way?
We don't know. So the women were not randomly assigned to the drug. They did not take into account many other factors that we know are predictive of whether somebody develops breast cancer or not. Some of that socioeconomic status, exercise, drinking. including family history, genetic risk, really important one, what other drugs they were on. So any of those other factors could actually explain why the group that were on the GLP-1s had a little bit lower rate of cancer. So this is really a starting point to be asking questions, not definitive proof.
And yet these drugs are all over social media. I mean, it's blowing up. This is a big conversation, people.
This is a really big conversation. And this, I think what you tend to see on social media is extremes. Miracle drug or, oh, GLP-1s are unnatural. They're not good for you. And I do want to call out, there was one oncologist from Stanford who posted on Instagram. I thought this was a really balanced comment. She said, none of this data suggests people who do not have weight or endocrine issues should be taking GLP-1 drugs. And yet she was speaking optimistically about some of the results. So again, it's not a miracle drug.
Gotcha.
This is not necessarily bad for you. We just need to wait for more data.
Adding some much needed perspective. Dr. Gounder, thank you.
Now to a terrifying situation for pop star Sabrina Carpenter. Officials say this man, seen here on a doorbell camera, tried to force his way into her Los Angeles home after weeks of watching the property. And it didn't stop there. Carter Evans has the story.
Alarming new surveillance images show this man at the Hollywood Hills home of pop superstar Sabrina Carpenter. On Monday, the singer was granted a temporary restraining order against 31-year-old William Applegate, whom she describes as a complete stranger. In court documents, Carpenter claims Applegate tried to forcefully enter her home on May 23rd. Images show her security team confronting him. The singer claims he said he knew her personally and that she was expecting him. At one point, Applegate is seen on the floor during the encounter. Shortly after, officers arrived and arrested him. Jeff Dunn is a retired LAPD detective.
Erotomania is something that we see frequently in celebrity stalking cases, and that's the delusional or fictitious belief that someone rich or famous is in love with you.
Less than 24 hours later, Carpenter alleges Applegate returned outside the singer's home, quote, watching and waiting. The next day, she says he was there again in this silver Prius.
See, a person that has been arrested, released from custody, and returns the very next day is very persistent. And from a threat assessment perspective, that's someone that you have to watch very closely.
The espresso singer is the latest celebrity to be targeted at home. In March, shots were fired at Rihanna's Beverly Hills mansion, and last year, Taylor Swift was granted a restraining order against a man she says routinely showed up and claimed she had his baby. For CBS Mornings, I'm Carter Evans.
That is scary.
I was going to say, it's so terrifying. I'm so glad she has security, and security clearly knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
But it's even scarier that he keeps on returning.
That's what I don't understand.
Because then if somebody doesn't get the hint one or two times, what are they going to do on the fourth or fifth time?
Exactly
then
right.
Then we have to wait till something happens? Oh,
which we don't.
We just hope that doesn't happen.
Exactly right.
Time to take a look at the stories that caught our eye. Doing the honors today, Kelly O'Grady on deck. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, good morning, Gail. All right, we're learning more about the impact of last week's massive explosion of a Blue Origin rocket. So Blue Origin CEO revealed that damage to the launch pad wasn't as extensive as originally feared. He said a lot of critical equipment was, quote, in good shape. Now, remember, NASA partnered with the Jeff Bezos-owned company to help return Americans to the moon in 2028. Despite the setback, NASA believes that time frame is still possible. Blue Origin says it will, quote, fly again before the end of this year. Turning now to another stunning explosion, also caught on video, I want you to take a look at this. So fireworks in a factory in Malta were erupting in flames. Our partners at the BBC report that all the factory's workers have been accounted for. None were on site at the time, thankfully, but two men working nearby were taken to the hospital with minor injuries. An investigation into the cause of the blast is underway. That footage is absolutely stunning. And shocking video out of Florida, where a speeding car slammed right into a house. So doorbell cam footage shows two cars colliding, sending one flying into this home. Now, police say three people in the vehicles were transported to the hospital with one in critical condition. CBS News Miami reports no one in the house was hurt, but of course the building is no longer livable because of the damage. No word yet on what caused that crash. And finally, New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani has issued a new executive order in honor of the Knicks making the NBA Finals. Parents, though, might not be happy about it. Take a listen.
Bedtime is repealed. All of you can watch the finals. How do you feel?
Good!
Now, don't worry, the repeal on BEP time, it's only temporary. The order will expire once, quote, the Knicks complete and hopefully win the historic championship run. The Knicks, of course, take on the Spurs in game one tomorrow night. I didn't know the mayor was in charge of bedtime. I should have pulled that line with my parents.
No, but Kelly, all those little kids are saying, I don't know what repeal means, but okay.
Yeah, but I'm down for it.
Sounds good.
Anything that means I don't have to go to bed.
Sounds good. Right. Sounds good. Good order from the mayor. Thank you, Kelly. Tennis great Serena Williams is getting back into the game. Yes, please. We like that. 4 years ago, she left the sport that she dominated for more than two decades. Now the 23-time Grand Slam winner, 23 times, is going to London to play in a warm-up tournament for Wimbledon later this month. Jerika Duncan is here with more. Jerika, this is so exciting. Good morning.
So exciting. I had to dress for the occasion. Good morning, everyone. Serena Williams has been busy the past 4 years growing her family, focusing on business ventures, and of course, appearing in that Super Bowl halftime show, most recently becoming a spokesperson for a weight loss drug. Well, it appears when it comes to tennis, she still has some unfinished business.
Serena will take one final bow.
It turns out Serena Williams never fully retired from competitive tennis. She was just in between sets. Monday, the 23-time Grand Slam winner dropped a video for her 17.8 million Instagram followers, confirming her highly anticipated return.
I gotta change my number.
The 44-year-old mom of two will play under a wild card entry in the doubles bracket of the Queen's Club tournament in London, which begins next week. Williams hasn't competed since losing in the third round of the 2022 U.S. Open.
I'm just so grateful to every single person that's ever said go Serena in their life. I'm just so grateful because, yeah, you got me here.
At the time, she told Vogue magazine she was, quote, evolving away from tennis, in part to focus on growing her family. A few months later, Gail King caught up with Williams and her husband, Alexis Ohanian, and asked about a possible comeback.
Is the door open just a sliver?
It's hard to say. I would say no. Okay. For now, no, because it's just, I've literally given my whole life to tennis, and it's time for me to give my life to something else.
Whether or not Williams will use the upcoming tournament as a warm-up to Wimbledon, which she's won seven times, remains to be seen.
Serena Williams walking onto the grass at Wimbledon without a racket and waving would attract attention. So her coming back to actually play, I don't think there's any question that because of her stature and the stage in life she's at right now as an athlete, that there'll be huge interest in what she does on the court.
Now, this comeback may not come as a total shock for fans who have really been watching. About 2 weeks ago, Williams' younger daughter appeared in this video where Williams wrote, rumor has it, I got a new trainer.
So cute.
And little Adira, I'm so excited about this
as well.
I am too.
We just want her to get back on the court and kill it.
Yeah. Don't you feel that, Nate?
Of course. I've always said the hardest thing for the greats of the game to do is to walk away and stay away.
I mean, that's why she said evolving. I feel like she always left it open, even though it was seen as a retirement.
And even when she said, I'd have to say no for now.
Yeah. Right, and she's such a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah. That's
the
thing.
Best to ever
even, you know, she's a little bit older, but she is still magic on the court.
And don't count her out.
And you look at other athletes like Tom Brady and LeBron doing it at 39, 40.
That's right. We get better over
Come
40,
on,
right?
Serena.
All right, all right.
That's right.
Yes, we do, Jerika.
Yep.
I co-sign.
All right, Jerika, thank you so much. All right, coming up is the classic teen summer job disappearing? That's the question. We will find out why teenagers are opting out and what they are doing instead. Plus, former Vice President Mike Pence is sharply critical of President Trump. Pence will be here to explain why he believes the Republican Party needs to change course and change it now.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Summer is right around the corner, and that means that many teens are looking for jobs. But a new report finds that teens getting those jobs is expected to fall to its lowest level in nearly 80 years. Last year, just over 800,000 teens had paid summer jobs. That's down 25% from the summer before. So what is going on with this decline? Harvard economist and CBS News contributor Roland Fryer joins us now. How you doing, man?
Good to see you.
All right, so you say this isn't a new problem, that the teen job market has been declining for decades. So what is the deal?
I don't know. People are making a big deal
Thank you
about
for
it.
Coming.
People are making a big deal about it. Look, the issue is not that the jobs have walked away from the teens, but the teens have walked away from the jobs. Mm. Because doing other things in the summer has just gotten a lot more valuable. The research lab, the SAT tutor, et cetera. And the premium to go into college, meaning how much more you earn if you go to college relative to high school, has doubled over the last 40 years. So look, teens are making rational decisions to do things that are more valuable.
So how much does family income factor into this when you say that they're walking away from jobs? Because I think it's very, I had a summer job
and I made sure my
kids,
I made sure my kids had summer jobs too.
How much does family income factor into all this?
It's a huge problem. And I, of course, had a summer job. I got fired from it because I was throwing tight spirals in Albertsons in the toy aisle. But
that's a whole, you got a whole nother side.
That's a backstory.
Yes.
But look, the teens that are most likely to walk away from these jobs are the affluent teens because they can afford to have an unpaid internship in an interesting lab. Mm-hmm. My worry is the kids like I grew up, who come from those types of incomes, the lower income kids, because when they don't have summer jobs, research from places like Harvard and Chicago tell us that they actually have a higher probability of death, 20% more likely to have for something to happen to them.
Because they're getting into the wrong things.
They're getting into the wrong things. And that's why I had that summer job for two reasons. One, I wanted to put a little money in my pocket.
Sure.
And two, frankly, it kept me out of trouble in the afternoons doing the things that my peers were doing.
But how tight is the job market for the teens that you said are not, that don't come from affluent families?
Yeah, for kids in inner cities, Gail, the labor market is quite tight. I mean, just here in New York City last year, they had 200,000 applications for 100,000 jobs.
People are concerned. Go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, the teens who work drive the economy as well. I mean, especially during the summer, businesses rely on teen young people working in ice cream shops and hotels. I mean, I worked at the mall, right, during the summer, during Christmas
break. Pools and beaches,
pools and beaches. So there is an economic, overall economic issue here as well.
Yeah, there is. And it's both teens and, frankly, immigrant labor, which is decreased drastically in the last year for all the reasons that you know. So yes, this summer we're going to be waiting a little bit longer for a table, and we're going to have a lot of inconveniences as consumers because the teenagers have pulled back and the labor market for these jobs, the demand side, meaning the people who want these jobs, has gone down considerably.
Well, I was very grateful for my high school job.
Yeah,
ShopRite, worked at Spencer's, Macy's.
And look how well you turned out.
I did okay. I'm doing all right.
Sorry about the grocery store derailing your info.
Roland Fryer, thank you very much. Former Vice President Mike Pence is out with a new book, and he is not holding back. Since he left office, Pence has become increasingly critical of President Trump. The former governor of Indiana served in the Trump's administration, the first Trump administration, and then ran against him in 2024. His new book is called What Conservatives Believe, Rediscovering the Conservative Conscience. Pence argues President Trump and the Republican Party have moved far away from traditional conservative ideals. We make it easy for you to buy the book. Scan the QR code right now on your screen to purchase it now. Mr. Vice President, good morning. Welcome.
Hey, thank you, Vlad.
Good to see you. Good to be on. Thank you very much for coming on. So let's start with the topic. Let's go with the news of day.
Right.
Personal values. Multiple candidates are running for office. You've got Democrats like Graham Platner, Republican Ken Paxton in Texas. They're facing questions about their personal lives, things like infidelity. Do you believe issues like adultery should be disqualifying for a candidate? And this is about the people that are running today. We're not looking in the past.
Well, first off, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming
on. And I write about the principles that have defined the conservative movement for the last 50 years, and certainly the issues of integrity and character have been embraced by our movement through the years, and they seem less significant today. But the reason I wrote the book is because for all these decades, the Republican Party has been defined by a conservative agenda, a strong defense of limited government, traditional moral values, including character. They battled against the progressive left, which, as we speak, seems to go farther and farther toward the progressive agenda and even a socialist agenda. I think one of the reasons President Trump came to power in 2016 and has such enduring popularity is because the way he's fought the progressive left.
Right, but
the reason I wrote the book, Vlad, is because what I want Republicans to know is that there's a new threat to that conservative agenda from a populist right that would walk away from those timeless values, that would embrace big government solutions, protectionism, even isolationism, questioning our allies.
I want to ask you about that, but I just want to get you on the record with regards to character as an issue. For example, sure. Ken Paxton, would you endorse Ken Paxton?
Well, when I see the choice that Texans face today, I think their choice is clear.
Ken Paxton is your choice?
I would absolutely support the Republican candidate in Texas over the Democrat candidate, Tallarico, who I think is far left, progressive left, extreme on social issues. And it's important to remember this is also about the control of the Senate. Midterm elections are always tough for the party in power in the White House. It'll be very difficult in many ways in this election for Republicans. And I'm confident the people of Texas are going to do their part to keep that Republican.
So you've made it clear. You've made it clear how you feel about James Tallarico. But when does your moral compass and your personal value come up against the dirtiness that often enters our politics? How do you personally reconcile that?
Well, for me, it always comes down to principle. You know, I write in the book that leaders fade into history, me included, but principles are final. And I believe that the principles that the Republican Party has championed over the last 50 years of limited government, a commitment to the Constitution, of strong American leadership in the world and those traditional values has not just served our party, but I think has served our country and delivered freedom and prosperity and strength for our nation.
You've talked about President Trump. He once famously said that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose any voters. In other words, the voters, the people who support him, so believe in his ideals and his principles that they're willing to back him no matter what. Do you think that is the animating principle of our politics today? That somebody could do anything, even things that go against your moral compass, but as long as they're delivering on the policies that you support, that's okay.
No, I'm incredibly proud of the record of the Trump-Pence administration. And the Trump-Pence administration, in every sense, was a continuation of the conservative agenda that really first came to the White House with Ronald Reagan's election in 1980. But
what about
I think
this
the president's appeal, and I think, look, the president and I are very different men. We spoke in different ways when we served together.
That's
since.
Clear.
But I think the president's enduring appeal is he's been willing to take on the left in this country that's become increasingly radical. I mean, you have here in New York City a Democrat mayor who embraces socialism, who rejects some of our most vital allies, including Israel as a vital and important ally in the life of our nation. I don't want to overstate that, but I honestly do believe that that the president's appeal has been his willingness to fight for the Republican Party against the left.
And yet,
but it's important that Republicans understand that there is this new threat to the conservative agenda from within
from the popular far right, which is what you write about in the book. You argue that President Trump is not a conservative. You cite tariffs, you cite the marginalizing of right to life, and other examples. This book reads like a history book, sir. Barry Goldwater, you mentioned Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Republican voters, CBS News polling shows that some 80% of people who are Republicans still approve of what the president is doing. So how do you reconcile your version of conservatism? Even President John F. Kennedy might not be seen as a Democrat today. He's a communist fighter,
Ronald Reagan would potentially be somebody that the president rejects as a rhino.
Well, you asked exactly the right question. And I think that the president's popularity among Republicans should not be confused with Republicans leaving that conservative agenda. You know, I spoke in front of more MAGA rallies than I can remember. And the people I spoke before are some of the most hardworking, God-fearing, patriotic, conservative Americans I ever met. I still believe that the overwhelming majority of people that ever vote Republican, Republicans, independents, and many Democrats, do so because they're committed to a strong defense, to limited government, to traditional moral values. And I believe for the sake of our country, for the sake of our party, it's going to be imperative for the Republican Party to return to those principles. And that's why I wrote the
book. Mr. Vice President, thank you very much. We appreciate having you on. Scan the QR code right now on your screen to buy the book. We'll be right back.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, welcome back to CBS Mornings. It's time to bring you the stories that are the talk of the table this morning. Nate, you're up first.
All right, so I have two quick ones for my talk of the table. I want to talk about the legendary sports writer Larry Fitzgerald Sr. His family announced his death on Monday. Fitzgerald covered sports in the Twin Cities for nearly 50 years. He earned the NCAA's Living Legacy Award in 2019. In 2009, Fitzgerald became the first reporter to cover his son in a Super Bowl when Larry Fitzgerald played for Arizona. On social media yesterday, the future Hall of Famer called his father a man of strength, love, and encouragement. Larry Fitzgerald Sr. was 71 years old. I met him on occasion, an amazing, amazing reporter and journalist, but an even better man. And speaking of him being a journalist, this is what he said about watching his son on the field. He said, "I won't cheer. I'm going to stay objective. I came too far to suddenly show up in the press box with pom-poms. But if you could put a monitor on my insides, you'll find a whole fan club in there." So even when he's watching his son, he maintained his professionalism. All right, another story that is making news right now is one of the most surprising trades of the NFL offseason. The Cleveland Browns, they traded all-pro defensive end Myles Garrett to the LA Rams. Garrett is in his prime. He is the best in the game, and Cleveland's general manager has suggested to the team that they would never trade him. So, of course, the fan base was committed to Garrett, and Garrett was committed to the team. But he was traded to the Rams. The Rams now have the best quarterback, some say the best receiver, and the best defensive lineman. They traded him for future draft picks and then also a lineman, Jared Verse. I am going to make a prediction right now about the Rams.
Okay.
Not about the Super Bowl. About a guy joining, or shall I say rejoining the team. I feel like Aaron Donald, who is one of the best defensive linemen to ever play for the Rams and a Super Bowl champ, who retired after 9 years way too soon, will come out of retirement to play with Myles Garrett and go for another Super Bowl.
Well, I'm excited for Myles Garrett because you know he's dating Chloe Kim.
That's right. That's right. Chloe Kim, my favorite couple.
Chloe Kim, the American snowboarder, and she lives in
L.A. Yeah.
So I was very excited about that. That was my point of view.
Yeah, I was like, Gail, keeping the important details.
Yes,
center.
Chloe,
she's like, forget about football, Nate. He's with his boo thing in L.A.
Yes, I love them as a couple. I love it. My talk of the table, I think, is a shining example, Vlad. I picked this one for you. Ooh. Unity. So TikTok creator, his name is Matt Heffner, has a mission to ensure that every bald person he comes across feels seen.
Oh.
I love this video.
There's a spell on my mind, and you're to blame.
my God.
But let it keep. There's a guy on the telephone, and he just stops people.
He has tons of videos like this.
Yeah, and he just goes up to you, but it's like they instinctively know what to do, and nobody's like, get away from me.
Let's go touch domes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm looking around. Klaus is in here. Like,
Brian Mullen is here.
Oh, where's Mullen?
Come on over, Brian Mullen.
Come on over, Brian Mullen.
Brian Mullen. Yes, he is. Come on over, Brian Mullen.
Is he bald, bull?
Come on over.
Hurry.
Okay. I just love it. But I think it's such a sweet thing that he does.
By the way, this is by choice.
Hey, let's do it. Never mind. It might be contagious. I'm going to keep my flat tire.
All right. I got to thank everybody. This is a riveting docuseries from See It Now Studios today. It's coming out on Paramount Plus. Devotion, Obedience or Betrayal takes viewers inside one of the world's most secretive religious sects. The series explores Gloria Vale, a controversial Christian community in New Zealand. For decades, it has operated under strict rules and deeply patriarchal traditions. Take a look.
Although our promised land is heaven, God has still given us such a wonderful place to sojourn on this earth. This is Gloryvale.
Gloryvale shrouded in controversy again. Police returning today as an investigation continues.
They descended on the community. There was helicopters flying over. The phone lines were cut.
We're in a warfare. We're in a fight.
The leaders want total control over the population.
We get slandered with all this nonsense about being a cult. No, I'm doing this out of my own free will.
All my daughter wants to do is see her mother.
I don't think I've ever seen an abduction actually taking place.
There's a few different narratives. One of them is that Gloria Vale is a wonderful place to live. On the other hand,
it's a sex cult.
My name is Howard Wendell Temple, an American citizen by birth.
Gloria Vale's leader is now a convicted sex offender.
We don't want to hide the truth of what's happened, but it shouldn't mean that we can't live this life.
Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
I choose to have 10 children because I love it. This is my reality.
Wrong things have occurred in our life, but we won't change our faith and our convictions.
I need to destroy them.
Wow. Devotion, Obedience or Betrayal is available to stream today exclusively on Paramount Plus, which is part of our parent company.
I know what I'll be doing later.
Yeah.
Watching that.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Zirinsky hits it out of the park again.
Yes, that is Pink's song, Raise Your Glass. We remember it, featured in Moulin Rouge, the musical. It's one of two Pink songs featured in Broadway productions right now. The other is in the musical And Juliet. Oh, I know that one, too.
Such a good show.
I know that one, too. Now, the Grammy Award-winning entertainer known for singing while performing. First time I saw this, my jaw was on the frickin' floor. Ariel Acrobatics is hosting the 79th Annual Tony Awards this Sunday on CBS. And so we are so happy that she's joining us first on CBS Mornings. Did I mention? We are so happy. Congratulations, Pink. When I heard you were doing this, I thought, lucky us you agreed to host the Tonys. So when they came out to you, I'm assuming it was immediate yes. Was it?
It was an almost immediate yes. It was a yes, but, or yes, and. Let me get permission from Willow. Because this is her lane. I try to stay out of her lane. She's all about Broadway. She goes to Performing Arts High School. And she was like, do I get a seat? I was like, I think so. So here we go. I'm in a yes place.
What does this mean, I'm in a yes place? What does that mean exactly?
I've always just been a touring artist. I tour. I put my head down and I beat the pavement. And I do it all over the world and back again 1,000 times. And I don't really do a lot of other things. And this year I was like, you know what? We're following Willow to New York City.
Yes.
I'm going to just say yes to things that I wouldn't normally say yes to.
Talk about the decision. I love that you guys have done this, to follow Willow to New York City. Why? What's her dream?
Her dream is to be on Broadway. Mm-hmm. She is musical theater obsessed. She has followed me around the world her whole life on and off tour. And I told her, it's your turn. We'll follow you. And that's what we do for our kids. We show up.
Yes.
If we can.
Yes.
And I'm lucky that we can. And she's She's phenomenal, and I would tell she's very talented, and she's also.
Now, are you just saying that because you're her mother?
No, she's no. I would be like, you can't do that. You're not.
Would you say that if
I would say it in a nicer way? But
like, how would you say it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Also, science.
Yeah. you know, dentistry is good,
but she's more talented than I ever was at her age.
Where were you guys watching the Tonys last year?
Last year, we were at home. Willow was watching the Tonys on television from the coffee table. Mm-hmm. She was stood up on the coffee table. She was dressed in her Gatsby costume that she designed herself on tour, which is four quadrants, the four main characters of Great Gatsby. It's adorable. And she was just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and now she'll be in the seat watching.
Yes, watching
making
mom.
Making fun of her mama.
Yeah, watching mom, also watching the show. What are you most excited about? Because first, number one, everybody judges from the opening number, Pink.
Oh yeah,
do no, you have
the
plans
number
for that?
It is goofy and over the top, and it's sort of a nod back. It'll all make sense. And there's going to be 170 people on stage.
Yeah.
It's going to be so fun. And I'm an idiot from the very first moment, which was very important to me.
To make fun of yourself?
To make fun of myself.
Why did you want to do that?
Because I haven't been on Broadway.
Okay.
And I wanted
and you want
to
people
just
to know,
speak
I know
to
I haven't been
I know
on
I'm
Broadway.
An, I yes. know I haven't been here. I know that I'm an absolute idiot. And my whole point this year mm-hmm. is to celebrate all of you. And we're just going to have fun. We're going to have so much fun. I'm excited.
I am, too. What are you most looking forward to of the evening? Because, you know, they always think there's got to be surprises. They always think there's
got to
be.
There's so many surprises.
That's unexpected.
There's a lot of really cool anniversaries. The Book of Mormon. And there's a chorus line. The In Memoriam is going to be amazing. Mm. And.
Because Leslie Odom Jr. is doing that. That'll be good.
And also all the shows that are on this year. No, it's going to be a really fun year.
I love Broadway. I love a good musical. I love the it can transform you and take you to a totally different place. And all the kids, just think of all the kids, like your daughter, who were sitting there dreaming of one day, I want to do this.
Oh, yeah.
And now, you know, she gets this opportunity that, you know, a lot of people think, I would kill to do this.
I want theater to be available for every kid because I think more than most things are our art classes and our theater classes are the first things being stripped from our schools. And I find those to be the only places in towns and cities mm-hmm. where kids can be goofy together and they can be in a safe space and they can be fully themselves or they can be fully something else other than themselves. And they come together as this group of supportive, nobody's a weirdo. And it's just the most wholesome, beautiful thing. I want it for every single kid. And that's, again, why Broadway is always, theater has always been really important to me.
Can you just say, will there be any acrobatic moments?
There will be acrobatic moments, but not in the way that you would normally see me doing acrobatic moments.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
Either do I yet.
I don't know what that
means.
But I
know there's a harness or two.
Battleboy, I don't know what that means. Just know, very excited, cheering
Thanks.
You on. I can't wait for Sunday.
Thank you,
I cannot wait.
It's going to be awesome.
I cannot. You can watch Pink host the 79th Annual Tony Awards live this Sunday. Tune in 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, right here and streaming on Where Pink?
CBS and Paramount+.
There you go. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on CBS Mornings.